Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Apostle Valerie Burrell, here with my husband, Benny. Grateful and thankful to our listening audience for being with us on this week. Last week, we had some technical challenges that prohibited us from coming live. So we are grateful tonight to be with you all, to have an engaging conversation regarding unmasking the pain of men. I'm hopeful tonight that we should have several callers on the line with us. Amen. To Jorge Concepcion III, Mr. Olin Tunji Ivisimi, Douglas Burrell Jr., Bishop Ramos, Apostle Gloria Hawkins are some of those who will be joining us on the call on tonight. And if you're on the line, if you could press 1, I could bring you live. We can go ahead and start our dialogue. Amen. So for those who are on the call, if you could press 1, we can bring you live. God bless you, Apostle Gloria. Amen. Amen. We are grateful. Amen. Praise God. I'll open up with prayer, and then I'll open up our call. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you for this time that we've come together to share what you've placed on our heart concerning unmasking the pain of men. Holy Governor, we acknowledge you as our true teacher. We thank you for what you will reveal and how we will all be empowered. We thank you now and count it done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Bless you. The last 4 of your phone are 8688. Who's on the call?
Jorge III, yes, ma'am.
Hey, son, God bless you. How are you?
What's up, Mama Val? I'm all right. I'm doing good.
Good. Hey, Apostle Gloria, God bless you.
Good evening. Good evening. God bless you as well, Apostle.
Amen. Last 4 of your phone, 8730. I'm bringing you live. Amen. God bless you. Who just joined us? The last 4 of your phone number are 8730.
Oh, yeah, that's all guilty.
Hello, hey, sweetie, how are you?
I'm fine.
I didn't know that number. Amen. Good, 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 good. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you all who are on the line. Again, if others that are going to join the conversation, once you get here, press 1, I can bring you live. But, gentlemen, thank you. Thank you so much for being here, for being a voice to help us as women understand and to also help our men that may be listening. The last 4 of your phone are 7878. I'm bringing you live.
Yes.
Good evening, who just joined us?
Hello?
Yes, who is this, please?
It's Douglas.
Oh, great. Hey, God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. So again, we're talking about unmasking the pain of men. And Apostle Gloria, her husband, myself and my husband are hosting a conference on next week where we're talking about unmasking the pain of men and healing the wounds of men. And what we're finding as women initiating this, as God has spoken to us, that it's sometimes hard for men to let their guard down, to let people know that they actually feel some kind of way, and sometimes struggle with going the path to get to that place of healing. So I want you all to share with me, and while you're not talking, if you could put your phone on mute, that way we won't have the feedback. Amen? So, Jorge, I'm going to start with you. Has there been a situation in your life where you were hurting and you were reluctant to reveal that there was something going on and then maybe hesitant about taking a path to healing?
Yes, ma'am. I've been in several situations as such.
Can you share with us? Because we want to understand not just from the perspective of the men, but for the women who love you, who love you all, and want to be here to help you in your process. What are some of the stumbling blocks? What are the things that we can look for? What are the things that you as a man would want from a woman in that situation?
Okay, I'll say two words. I say trust is one of them, and fear is like as my other word. Because I know for a man, it is tough to open up and talk to people. But I know one thing is like fear. You fear that you can open up, and if I tell this person everything about what's going on with me or my situations, how do I know that person is going? It's just going to stick with that person, or how I know that person not going to run with whatever I told them or use it against me. And that's what comes with, like, the trust part. Like, you know, just trusting people on what they telling you. Like I said, how I know this person not going to come and stab me in my back a few weeks later, or what I told them, something that I'm not comfortable talking about, or I'm not comfortable coming out to the world and letting the world know. So if I tell that person something and it's like that person used it against me, I know that's what really, really makes a man really step back and realize, like, or make them feel like, okay, they don't have nobody or they can't talk to nobody. It makes them feel like they got to be masculine. And that's another thing that's wrong with, like, a lot of men nowadays. In this generation, it symbolizes, like, you're weak. And everybody look at it like, oh, he weak because he shows his emotion. And I feel like that's what really hold back a lot of guys from doing a relationship thing, you know. If a guy be sweet to his girl or something like that, that man is worrying about what the next man think. Oh, yeah, he's soft, or oh, he a target or something, like, because he seemed as a weak individual, and that's not the case at all. So I feel like if this generation right here don't really care about what the next man think, then a lot of stuff will be avoided as far as bad relationships and not trusting nobody and things like that, all in that aspect, because you shouldn't worry about what the next man think in that perspective when it comes to stuff like that. So I think that's the main reason why guys would hold back and
that's powerful. Thank you, son. Thank you, son. Tunji, what are your thoughts?
You got to take his phone off me.
Hello?
Yes, sir. What are your thoughts?
I think that's a tough one. I think that's a tough one, honestly, because sometimes, I don't know. Me, myself, I just don't like talking about stuff, personally. You know what I'm saying? I don't like sharing stuff, so I don't know why. So I don't have a reason to it, but if I have to go with anything, I just feel like, you know, sometimes it's not about the fact that somebody might use the things you say to them against you. I just feel like sometimes people deep down and you don't care. You know, like, people act one way, like, you know, okay, I'm going to be there for you regardless of what the situation is, but, you know, when it's all said and done, they're not going to be nowhere to be found. And sometimes most of the situation is something we have no control over. It's like, let's say I'm going through something and I tell Joe, who's like, you know, one of my best friends in this world. It's like, I don't mind telling Joe because I know he's going to be passionate about it and, you know, feel some kind of compassion for me. But at the same time, there's nothing me or Joe or my mom or my dad can do to change whatever the situation is. So most times, you know, why even share it if there's nothing that's going to be a change? So my reason most times for keeping stuff to myself or not talking about it is because, you know, most of whatever it is we want to talk about, there's nothing we can do to change it. Like, you know, I lost the most important thing to me in this life, which was my younger brother, this past May. And I talked about it a lot because it was healthy for me. I know I talked about it. It didn't matter who he was. I knew I couldn't hold that back in because it was going to drive me crazy. I never lost anybody close to me like that before, and this was my flesh and blood, you know what I'm saying? But at the most, when I talked about it, the only reason I talked about it was I knew because, you know what I'm saying, I couldn't hold something of that magnitude in, you know what I'm saying? So I had to share it. If it was something else that I know wasn't going to be something for me mentally, I was going to hold it in because it wasn't going to change the situation. But don't get me wrong, sharing whatever your situation is.
Are you still there, son? Suji, you still there? Okay, you faded out. Doug, what are your thoughts?
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I definitely agree with both of the gentlemen were saying. I think that a lot of the things that have, you know, cause a lot of hurt in men is because there is a lack of communication. It's a lot of things that has to do with the trust and honesty that comes between two people. Nowadays, you know, a lot of dynamics have changed as far as, you know, people having compassion for one another and being direct into the things that they have going on inside of them, as well as what's happening in their relationships. You know, myself, you know, to put so much value into another person and then to have that person not reciprocate the same type of love and compassion and openness, it will eventually, you know, cause, you know, a lot of resentment and regret for even being in those situations or allowing myself to be vulnerable to a woman in that manner. And, you know, I think if it was more focused on the communication itself, a lot of things could be alleviated.
That's interesting. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Agree with you. And what I hear, and you all correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing, and Apostle Gloria, you can share as well, our communication, now based on the things that may cause the pain for men, a lot of it stems from relationships, stems from trust. It stems from a communication or a lack thereof. Are there ever times that you all as men have insecurities of any type? I think it was you, Jorge, that said, you know, you can't worry about the man that will come behind you or, you know, even worry about a man that might have been in front of you. But are there ever times that there's something that we as the women in your life, or whether it's your mother, your significant boo, your wife, your father, any of those relationships, is there anything that you all have encountered in those relationships that caused you to really bottle in the emotions and to keep from expressing them to get to a better place? And Doug, you're still here. You share, and then we'll go back to Jorge. And again, if there are other gentlemen on the line that have something to share, please press 1 and we can bring you live. Amen. Doug, can you share?
Someone lost service, yeah. Mama Val, so he's calling back in.
Yeah, I see him, baby. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. And I'm sorry, my phone went out for a second. You said speak on the women?
Yeah, so, well, whether it's the significant other in your life, the mother or the father, any of the dynamics of any of those relationships that really cultivate that mindset of let me hold it in, let me not say anything. How do those relationships affect your willingness to unmask your pain and go through the process of healing?
Oh yeah, well yeah, that's a definite factor in this.
Okay, yeah, I will leave you alone because you was like whoa. So we're going to just say,
it's a lot of things that have come up behind that as well, as far as, you know, having that relationship, you know, with your mother or your father. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you don't have a very strong relationship with, you know, your home, with your family or whoever, you know, raised you, that can cause a lot of different dynamics too in a man. You know, a lot of times men nowadays are not being raised to be men. They're getting a lot of, you know, it's like you don't really get the lessons of what it is to be a man or to have the love or the understanding from a mother to be able to then want to give that. You know, you'll find yourself, if you don't have a good relationship with your family or with your mother as a man, then you'll find yourself trying to fight to get that love in women, and therefore you'll make a lot of bad decision making, a lot of bad choices into the type of woman that you believe is the right one for you. And then that then
okay, let's put a pin in that. Let's put a pin in that because that's good. The person with the last four digits of your phone, 9095.
Yes, ma'am. How you
good
doing?
Good evening. God bless you. Who is this? Good. Who is
it's
this,
Bishop
please?
Ramos.
God bless you, Bishop Ramos. You've heard some of our dialogue tonight. Just share with us your thoughts. Tunji, I'm going to bring you back live if you could just keep your phone on mute. All right. Bishop Ramos, share with us your thoughts about the dynamics of what takes place in the mind, the spirit of a man, and their willingness to unmask their pain and start up a healing process. What are your thoughts?
In order for a man to really begin to heal, he got to know what he's broken of. The problem with society, I want to say society today, the generation of today, and even the prior generation, I want to say maybe that's where I'm falling in. I'm in my 50s. The prior generation, there was a breakdown in the family structure. I don't want to make this out of a black and a white thing, but if you look at the family structure of the black family in the 60s, the 50s, and even the 40s, the structure was taught, and it was even emphasized to take the black male out of the family. So when you took the black male out of the family, you took the authority out of the family. You took the discipline out of the family. You took the law, I would say, out of the family. And you made the black woman or the woman become the authoritarian and the nurturer, where it was impossible for her to do both because God didn't make her to do that. It's that God didn't make the man to be the nurturer and the discipline or the authority or the provider. Now we have children that's coming up that's watching this, and it's where I kind of fell in my age group and our age group. Our age group grew up into the area of where we might have had a mother, we might have not had one. We might have had a father, we might have not had one. But the family unit was still kind of structured to where somebody somewhere kind of filled in, but it still wasn't what it was supposed to be. So the whole manner of man, I'm saying man and not woman, but man, got polluted into what it is to become a real man. Man was taught you played with this toy, you played with that toy. You don't cry when this happens. You don't cry when that happens. And at the same time, he's battling trying to get an identity of who he is, while at the same time society itself is teaching women to become more stronger, teaching women to become more dominant, teaching men to sit aside, teaching men to do your thing, while men are steady sliding back. The authority that they have in the household is steady being diminished. And now the woman is becoming the dominant one in the family. And you have men that's trying to learn how to be a man watching a dominant woman go into society now. We look at society
now. I'm
going to
put
now.
A pin in that. I'm sorry. You said some good things. Let me put a pin in that right there.
Right.
Jorge, what are your thoughts for what you've heard so far?
I'm thinking about
and
my
we're talking
boy, like
about,
I said, he was saying, ma'am.
Go ahead.
I said, I'm thinking back off of my guy said, like he was saying, that does play a part, like a man being a man, you know, and the absence of a man in your life, period, is it's going to start off tough. Like me personally, I had my father in my life, my whole entire life, and he showed me how to protect and act towards a woman, which is his wife. You know, they were married 20 plus years, so I always just looked at or had something to look to. But I think, again, for the guys, in order for you to move on or really be comfortable with sharing yourself, you have to be able to forgive. You got to forgive people that hurt you before. You got to forgive people that hurt you, period. And that's what I was struggling with for the longest time, you know, like with different situations that I had. Even me and my father growing up, we didn't have the best relationship. I always felt like, you know, like he being too hard or he doing this or he doing that. And I held a lot of things to myself, and I held it over his head for the longest time. But it took for me to get older and realize what was going on. And once I got older and realized that, then and really forgave him or forgave the next person, then it just made me grow and get better as a person. So I really think forgiveness is a big, 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 big thing.
Thank you, son. Junji, what are your thoughts, son?
Question. I didn't even hear the question. I'm sorry, mine's off.
That's okay, babe. We were just saying when we look at relationships, whether it was a relationship with your significant other, your mother, or your father, how those relationships may have played a role in man's unwillingness to unmask his pain and start healing. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I grew up in a house with a lot of females because I had five sisters. So I felt like I was brought up the right way. I knew the way my dad talked to my sisters, the way my mom talked to my sisters, you know, even the way I was brought up, period. I think, you know, having a female figure around you somehow plays a big factor, you know, in an upbringing. It lets you know how to treat a woman or how to relate to a woman. And I was really blessed and fortunate to have that at a very young age. So I can't really have anything negative to say about that because I know it played a positive, you know, role in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Wow. Y'all are helping us. Apostle Gloria, from what you've heard so far, what do you have to share and what the men have shown with us?
Ooh.
All right, guys, put your phone on mute. Apostle Gloria.
Yes. First of all, I would love to commend each and every one of these young men on the line tonight. And I understand the age group that they're in, but they're speaking volumes as to what all the men have gone through and is going through now. And it breaks my heart because as a woman, as a mother, you know, we know that oftentimes we drop the ball because we don't know how to be a mother. We're learning, it's on-the-job training in so many cases. And the young man that spoke of forgiveness, that just registers so deeply with me because we must forgive. One thing that I learned is that my parents didn't know everything, even though they were there, they were together, but I had to forgive what they didn't know and understand that what they were taught was what they were teaching us. So to each one of you tonight, again, I commend you. I thank God for you. I thank you for your honesty. I thank you for your input in helping us to understand at a greater level of what work needs to be done and work that has to happen. And your openness to share tonight lets me know that we're here. This was not just something, a fly-by-night assignment to help men unmask their pain, but as the second part of that is healing the wounds of men because they're running so deep. So as we go forth with this, Apostle, I think we may be doing more than one, because we've had everybody on the line give so much. I mean, they've given so much information in this short amount of time. So, I commend you, young man. I thank you, and I thank you for the opportunity for us to talk about the up-and-coming conference.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, Bishop Ramos, you serve in a leadership capacity, and you have you pastor a church. You have men in your ministry. How prevalent are hurting men in your circle? How often are you seeing men who are masking pain and struggling? And how often are they actually looking for help? What's the stigma, if you feel like there is one?
Extremely heavy. I'm willing to say that 9 out of every 10 men that I've met, just from their actions and their characters, they're covering up something, or they're holding up, or they've been taught to hide something. And you can tell by just little insecurities that people do, just little things. One man might not hug you, or one man might half hug you. One man might crack jokes all the time. The funny guy. One man might not joke at all. Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Stern.
Mm-hmm.
And all these different attributes have come from different things that they've learned to harbor. Learn to just
mm-hmm.
keep in. As I was trying to go somewhere before we ended. Yeah, Pimmy, but I kind of wanted to bring us back into society now. In society now, we find the gender roles changing. We finding more women actually being men, and we find men taking on the character of women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that process, we have men that have and I'm using it myself now. I'm saying we have men that have never learned how to heal from the past generation,
mm-hmm.
and we have men that never learned how to heal from that generation before them. So
mm-hmm.
now they're stuck. They're stuck. Like, how do I sit there and release all the things that I've been through, or the things that I don't even realize is there? How do a man get to the place, or how do I get to the place to where I've harbored hurt and I've harbored pain so long that I don't even recognize it as hurt and pain anymore?
Amen. Amen.
I now see it as regular day-to-day life, and I begin to teach that pain, and I begin to teach that hurt to the next person, or I shut
mm-hmm.
down and don't teach it at all until
mm-hmm.
it come up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the privilege of really having a mother in my life as I was raised up, and I did have a father. I was adopted, and I had an adopted father in my life who let me know every chance he got that I was adopted and that my purpose,
mm-hmm.
my sole purpose, was to serve him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot, Mother Gloria, she kind of knows my story. I was raised up in a club, so the club became my mother and became my father.
Mm-hmm.
By the time
wow.
I was
wow.
30 years old, I was still chasing a mother's love and chasing a daddy's discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I got so mad and angry at the world. Anytime it was almost every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, I was fighting. Because every time somebody mentioned about family or mother or something like that, I got angry. And I got angry so much to the point to where I didn't even realize I was getting angry anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's tough.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Wow.
It wasn't
when
I found God, when God came into my life, I was 30-something because I didn't really too much know about the church then. But when God came into my life, and I'm going to share something, and I hadn't cried in almost 15, 20 years. I got beat so much the way I couldn't cry anymore. When I went to church and God saved me, I'll never forget that day when I got saved. I cried. I cried so much that I couldn't even talk. Every time I went to open my mouth, tears came out. But what God was doing, he was delivering me from the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He was delivering me from all that stuff that I had piled down over the years. And the enemy hadn't even finished yet. Because when I did find my mother, I found my real mother. I was 2007. I was 40-something years old. And then I had to go through the rejection all over again.
Yeah. Wow.
That's big.
Someone's getting ready to add something. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. This is better, son. Better half of it, son.
Yes, sir.
But a lot of things he said I could just relate to, and it was just powerful because, I mean, I just accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, actually by Ms. Val, so amen to that. Yeah, so that was a big change for me. But like I said, before that, I know y'all said, like, the joking guy, the guy to himself, the guy that's give you half a hug. Each time he said a new one, I just thought of guys that I know personally or guys that's on my team. But for me personally, I was I used to sip something and then want to fight. Like, because, you know, Ms. Val, like, my brother passed away, he got killed. After he got killed, I really didn't care too much about my life, and that's what I messed up at, you know, and that's what I could really look in the mirror and tell myself, like, all right, you messed up, you fouled, but that was my way of letting all my anger and letting all my stuff go. I do something, and then I fight anybody in the room or just want to act out for no apparent reason, and until my guys really came to me and told me what I was doing, but I looked at it as, oh, no, I was drunk, or I'm doing this and I'm doing that, but it really took me to realize, like, you really using that just as an excuse. You know goodness well, you know right from wrong. Your parents taught you right from wrong since day one. So that right there was just an excuse for me to use. And now that I'm older and now that I realized what I was doing, it's just like something you just got to learn from and piggyback off of and go way further. So that's another step that, like, helped me and made me want to be baptized. And once I did that, it just, that same day, it was just like a different feeling. You know, I think before I act, like, a lot now. Like, stand on church and stuff is really huge for me, not just because I got baptized, I got saved, but I know right from wrong. I know I'm way better than that. So that's just to piggyback off what my guy said. That was a lot of powerful points.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm not disagreeing with anybody, but this is my thing. I love Joe. I love Joe so much. The man who said something before Joe, I felt like he said everything he could possibly say. But at the same time, I feel like every single human being go through stuff in life.
Mm-hmm.
Our state of mind, the way we interact with people, I feel like it's a choice. People decide to be sad. Like, it's not going to cost you nothing to see your teammate or to see somebody out and give them a hug or give them a handshake or keep a smiley face on to make somebody's day better because you're going through stuff. But the whole time, everybody else.
And Junji, for you to say that is makes sense because of how you're wired, how God wired you, and how God uses you as a motivator and a change agent. But even in those times when
you're active in that role, there's still times that you yourself are feeling some kind of way, but nobody will ever know it.
Exactly my
because
point.
Of the choice you make. I know, that's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's what I'm saying.
So I hear you. I hear you. But the thing is, son, that we recognize is that because of how you were nurtured and how you were raised and your mindset and how you view yourself and the world that you live in, it's different than what a lot of people have faced. So when we have to look at upbringing, we look at culture, we look at mindset, we look at all those things and bottle them together, we're not going to always find another Tunji. We're not going to see that same type of drive and motivation come through. So that's why it's important that when you're in your vein and you're doing what you're doing, you do it so well. And that's why you've been able to encourage and uplift the guys on the team and even the students that are on the campus because of your understanding of why you are where you are now. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to piggyback off of what you said, Mama Val. Like, a lot of course, guys that's on the phone now, you guys don't know all the things, but this literally my best friend. This I'm the captain of the basketball team. He's the captain of the basketball team. So,
and this guy,
so, like, just seeing him, he go through so much, but this guy can keep a smile on his face that light up the whole room. And if you're going through whatever you're going through that's bad, if you just go and talk to Tunji, he'll make you feel like, you know what, everything all right. But that, again, that comes from where you're from, your background, and how you take certain things, because certain things that Tunji will smile at and say, you know what, it'll be okay. Me, myself, personally, I don't think I'm strong enough to do that. You know, he hasn't seen his parents in 8+ years. He's from a whole different country. He's been over here for, what, 8, 9, 10, 12 years. Like, it's just certain things I know myself personally. It would be a challenge for me. But for this guy to be the most spiritual person and he'll pray for you and be comfortable with it. You know, in this generation, it's like, God thinks it's corny to pray. Or they think it's corny when you give yourself to God or you love God. You know, I feel like that's where a lot of things that's what come in with that, oh, I look weak thing again. But for this guy to he'll pray for you, he'll smile for you, he'll just show off his back. You know, I feel like that's just a lost thing. But like I said, a lot of guys are not as strong as you, Tunji. So a lot of guys can't do what you do. And you do it very well. And you, like I said, you can make anybody's bad day turn to, you know what, it's all right day. So by the time they get home, they done had a good day. Starting off a horrible day. So it's certain people that God get that gift to. And there's certain people that just can't deal with it or they can't just do that.
You're right. You're right, son. You're right. We're down to about five more minutes. Doug, pull that.
Yes.
Yeah. Shit. Do you have any thoughts? You've been listening for a few minutes. What are your thoughts about the dialogue that we've had?
It was incredible. It was a lot of great points. And, like, as far as, you know, it was a good thing about the forgiveness, because I think a lot of times we don't really get into what the forgiveness is. You know, forgiveness, I'm just speaking from my own experience, is that forgiveness is about letting it go. So regardless of whatever happened in any relationships, you know, the more we dwell on it or, you know, we still carry that burden or the animosity or whatever, resentment, the more we carry it around, it'll stay with us forever.
Mm-hmm.
So until we allow ourselves to give that away, that's the forgiveness, to let it go and realize that it's bigger things that we should be focusing on. And then it's about when people say, you know, you got to forgive and forget. It's not so much about forgetting, it's just the learning. As far as through every situation and every experience, there are things that we're supposed to learn from it. So, you know, when people say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget, they hold that, they speak in the terms of they're still holding on to it. They're not saying that they're just going to let it go, but you're not supposed to forget what you were supposed to learn. That's the thing, because every experience is, you got to learn from it. You're not. You're going to continue making the same wrong decisions and the same wrong choices, regardless of what. So that's like as far as like the understanding of the dynamics with the parent and things being taught and passed down, because that has been lost. And I'm just speaking as people, like we've lost that. No, really, it's no knowledge and no experiences that are being passed down. And that's like a lot of reasons why the dynamics have changed between men and women. And how the brother said, you know, the men are now being feminine and the women are now being masculine. The roles have changed because the men don't know how to be men. You know, if we're growing up and we're never taught the dynamics and things of our mindset and
mm-hmm.
grow and how to be responsible for ourselves first, how can you want to get yourself involved in a relationship and bring somebody else into the equation when we're still learning ourselves? And we still have
That's
to get
huge.
Ourselves together first and foremost before we can be able to accept someone else to come in our lives, because then their burdens become our burdens. And any burdens that, anything that you went through before, if you're still holding on to them, you bring that dynamic into another relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Okay.
Amen.
Wow. Yes. Y'all have blessed me tonight. Y'all have blessed me in my phone. I've been getting text messages from the women who have been listening to you all, and they're like, yo, you need all those men in Richmond on Saturday. And, oh, my God, they're articulating it, and they're so insightful. So for the women who have been listening to you all on tonight, yeah, they certainly commend you. Amen, amen.
I'm about, we should have charged you for this. But we're going to let you slide because you're my girl.
I love you, son. Thank you so much. Y'all have to know
you
that Jorge and CJ are two of my sons.
All
Amen.
Right.
Two of my sons on the campus at Bluefield College. And Doug is
Amen.
A friend. He's
game
in
day
Richmond.
Tomorrow.
He will be with us. Amen. Yes, game day tomorrow. He'll be with us in Richmond at the conference. Bishop Ramos, you will be there with us on Saturday.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right, Mama Bob.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, we love you. Apostle Gloria, if everybody could put their phones on mute, and Apostle Gloria, you give us details about the event and close us out in prayer. Amen.
Amen. The conference will be held this Saturday, November the 10th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Inashi Dance Studio at 5616 Richmond Henrico Turnpike. There's been a registration fee of $20. We've asked everyone to go to Eventbrite, Unmasking the Pain, to register. We will be serving food, so you guys come. You're going to get to eat really good. You're going to get some of Mama's cooking so you can digest not only the word, but the food. Again, it's from 10 to 3. You can contact either myself or Apostle Valerie for more details and directions. The address is on the flyer. And it would be really awesome if everyone online can come. If you can't, send someone, because this is a God assignment, straight from the throne room, because it's time for our men to be heard. It's time for our men to heal and time for them to take their position as leaders, as priests of the home, and just men of valor. So, I commend you and I thank you all for sharing tonight and opening up your heart, not only to Apostle Val and myself, but to all those that are listening. Prayerfully, they will take another look at their man and understand where they are and help them in their relationship. So, Apostle Valerie, again, I thank you for the opportunity. And as we close out, I do say God bless you all. Father, in the name of Jesus, I say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your work that you've begun on tonight in so many areas and in so many people's lives who are listening. Heavenly Father, you've given these young men a voice, understanding, and an insight. I ask that you bless each of them individually and collectively as they go forth in doing what you have called them to do, that you will increase your anointing, increase your presence in their life. Continue to gird them up and strengthen them as they do what you have called them to do. Father, I thank you right now that you give each one of them traveling mercy, that they might go to and fro where they desire to go and where you will send them. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come together to hear the men. And thank you that you're allowing us to be able to get in a position to help them. Father, I thank you. I bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Again, to Jorge, to Tunji, to Doug, to Bishop Ramos, thank you all so much for joining us. As always, we encourage you at the Empowerment Place. Once you've been empowered, please take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you all, and good night.
Good night.